Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many Christians may not know that they've been adopted into the family of God. This adoption confers the rights of sonship on all who believe, meaning they will take part in an eternal inheritance. Today, more on what this adoption means. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 15, as we resume our study of the gift of sonship.
And now what I want you to do is to open your mind and your heart to understand what Paul is actually saying. What he is going to say here is that when it comes to the matter of adoption and becoming the sons of God, the entire Trinity is involved in this. Let's look at the text. For you have received not the spirit of fear or slavery, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Just that much. The first thing we receive when we believe on Jesus and are adopted into his family, we receive a welcome from our Father, Abba, Father. Abba, as you know, is a term of endearment. Some people want to translate it daddy, something like that. It's maybe not quite that informal because adult children sometimes used it, and Jesus used it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Someone has suggested maybe the best way to translate it is dearest Father. Now, you see, obviously the reason why this happens is because we're adopted sons. Let us suppose that you were up for adoption and to choose a name randomly. Let's suppose that you were adopted by the Smith family, okay? You wouldn't, after your adoption, say, now, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith. Of course not. It's Dad and Mom. You've received the spirit of adoption now. You have this family relationship. And what that means is that you have access to your Father at any time, in the dead of night, during the day, when you're in trouble, when things are going well, you have access to the Father because he's never too busy to be able to handle you. He's got a lot going on, but he has time for you. Many of us are young enough to remember that there was a picture circulated, I guess in the 60s, obviously, when President Kennedy was president of the United States, and he's sitting behind his desk in the Oval Office, and little John John, as he was called at that time, the little two-year-old boy, was playing under the desk of the president. Lovely picture. How in the world did the kid get there? I mean, supposedly there are Secret Service agents guarding the Oval Office. There are members of the military that are also at the ready. And this little boy snuck through them all, walked past all of them. Why? He's a son. When you become a believer in Christ as a son or daughter, you always have access to the Father, and you get right into the throne room. I can show that scripturally if I had the time. Right into the citadel of where God is, we come because we're sons. And he says, I always have time for you. Not only do we find that we have access, we have security. In Roman times, the adoption was irreversible. Once you're a child, you're a child. You're a son. You're a daughter. And it's your inheritance. Trevor Burke, who wrote a book on adoption, said, if adoption is about anything, it is about belonging. A belonging where God as Father occupies center stage in the midst of his family. This is God's family. He centers stage, and he adopted you with all the rights and privileges of sonship. How many of you remember that story in 1992 Derek Redmond. He was running in the Olympics in Barcelona. The 400-meter dash. Now, he had won that previously. He was basically a world champion. But as he was running, he broke a hamstring in his legs, and he had searing pain. But instead of falling down, he decided to continue to hobble to the finish line, and of course, everyone else went past him. And suddenly, out of the stands comes a man dressed in a white T-shirt, and he's going past security, and he's shouting, "That's my son! That's my son!" And they allow him to go onto the field, and it's interesting the conversation they had. The father said, "You don't have to do this." He said, "I know I don't have to, but I have to make it to the finish line." And the father said, "If you have to make it to the finish line, we have to make it to the finish line together." And he put his arm around his son and helped lift him. And together they went all the way to the finish line. My friend, you may feel today that you are in pain, that everybody else is running past you to the finish line. You've been sidelined for 100 different reasons. You have a Father in heaven who is willing to come alongside of you, help pick you up, and take you all the way to the finish line. I love the last words of Jesus before he died. The last words were, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." I don't know what my death will be like. I hope it's still a long way off. But if I'm conscious enough, those would be my last words on my lips. "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." So the Father is involved. He is welcoming you. He is loving you and caring for you. The Spirit is involved. The assurance of the Spirit, the welcome of the Father, the assurance of the Spirit. Your Bibles are open. We have the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, in Roman adoption, not only were there a number of judges that were present, but also there were witnesses. There were witnesses there at the adoption that said, "We are here to be sure to witness to this, and if anybody ever doubts that this child was adopted, we're here to prove that he was." That's the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God gives the assurance to the human heart, and that is the only religion in all of the world that offers personal assurance. And the personal assurance comes because of the Spirit of God witnessing within our spirit that we are the children of God and granting us that assurance. No other religion has that. Oh, you say, but other religions believe that they're right too. Yeah, I know. Could I take the liberty of telling you that on Friday I caught a cab to the Union League Club because our Moody luncheon was there, and along the way I engaged the driver. I could see that he was very religious, and I didn't know exactly what to say. I was just throwing out a couple of questions. I said, "Do you have the right religion?" "Oh, yeah. No question about the fact that we have the right religion." I said to him, "Do you have the assurance that when you die, you're going to be in heaven?" "Yeah, that's what our religion teaches." "Oh, okay." So he went along a little more, and I asked him a couple of other questions. And he said, "Of course I don't have any assurance." He said, "Allah can do whatever he likes. No, nobody can have assurance." You see, this is a very important principle. It's not just true about Islam. It's true about the other religions of the world. They say, "We have the right religion." And they're convinced that they have. What they do not have is personal assurance, because only the Holy Spirit of God ministers to our spirit, and through the peace that he gives and the assurance that he births in our hearts, we know that we belong to God. I love to use the example of my mother. My mother died at 103. If you think that's a long life, my father died at 106. Many of you have heard this, but many of you haven't. I always say that my parents lived so long that I'm sure until my father died, all of their friends in heaven thought that they just didn't make it. They said, no. But they made it. One day when she was probably 95, 96, I don't know. I used to call her every Saturday night, and she'd always ask me what I was preaching on and assuring me that she was praying for me. What a godly woman. But one day, I just said to her, "Mother, are you sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven?" And she said, "I am as sure as if I were already there." Now, where did that assurance come from? Is it because she studied books on apologetics? She read. No, she never read those books. She never even read all the books that her son wrote. No. She always read her Bible. It's a better deal, by the way, I guess. It's because walking with God for 75 or 80 years, she had the deep down settled assurance that is really given to a new baby in Christ. I belong to God. Why? The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you have that witness? If you don't have that witness, you probably have never been born again. Oh, you say, "I prayed the prayer, I walked the aisle, you know, when I was a baby, I was baptized." Doesn't matter. Have you the witness of the Spirit that you belong to God? So, first of all, the Father welcomes us. What does the Spirit do? He gives us assurance. Third, and now, oy, oy, oy. I don't know if I can go on here. This is so amazing. Thank you, brother. I heard, "Please do. For you I will, and the others can listen in." Look at this. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." What does the Son do? The Son shares with us his inheritance. Do you realize, my friend, that there is nothing that belongs to Jesus that he does not share with all of us because we are joint heirs with him? Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and as you realize, my intention is to be able to accurately share the scriptures in order to bless your life. If you are a son of God, a daughter of God, there's so much for which we can be thankful, and the best is yet to come. That's why I preach this series of messages entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. It's because I've always wanted to be able to share with people the fact that when you receive Christ as Savior, you receive much more than you and I ever realize in this life. But we should do our best to dig into the scriptures and find out what that inheritance really is, and begin to live according to that inheritance. So glad that you have joined us, but please join us next time as this message continues, and I hope that you'll get this entire series so that you can listen to it again, share it with your friends, and be blessed.
A child of God's future is too wonderful for words to describe. Having been adopted as God's sons and daughters, our destiny includes being with Jesus when he returns to set up his kingdom. Next time on Running to Win, the full story. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.